The reading of God's Word from the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with the third verse. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, but these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. It is the case that every journey that we take in life always presumes a destination. That is to say that whenever we set out on a particular course, we are endeavoring to get to a specific place. Every journey presumes a destination. And yet in these recent days, we've had to alter that motivation a bit because obviously we've been asked not to go out any more than we absolutely must. We have been told to shelter in place, and there are some of us who have sheltered in place so much that we are on the verge of going bat crazy, even though that particular expression may have lost its charm a bit in recent days. But you know what I mean. You understand what I mean. There is within you this desire to get out and to go somewhere, because people who are put into a situation of quarantine, especially when they have come out of a mobile society, cannot do that forever, and so sometimes we just have to get out of the house and go somewhere, which, when you think about it, in itself, is something of a destination. But as I have gone out this week, and I know that as you have gone out this week, there is a part of you that has wondered to yourself, how long will this situation last? How long will I be expected to shelter in place? When will be the time for me to be free enough to go and do what I want to do? And even though we ask that question, we know that there aren't any fixed answers available to us, that the story keeps changing from day to day, sometimes hour, to hour, so that we have learned over the course of these last 5 or 6 weeks the importance of living even more into our faith from the standpoint of learning better how to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm reminded of that story in the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, where Jesus has sheltered in place with his disciples. It's prior to his crucifixion. He's gathered with those that he has invited to join him in doing God's work in the world. And because Jesus knows that his time on earth is drawing to a close, he will not be with his disciples forever, and so he wants to impress upon them certain truths, certain teachings, certain promises that will be able to sustain them when his disciples find themselves in an anxious and uncertain season. And so as Jesus is talking with them about returning to his Father, he tells them in the course of that last teaching recorded in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. You know the story so very well. Jesus says to his disciples, "And where I am going, you know. And the way you know." And you'll remember that it was Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples. We call him Doubting Thomas. Thomas piped up and asked the question that surely must have been on every other disciple's mind. It was more of a statement than a question. "Lord," Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" All of the disciples were together with Jesus that night when Thomas posed that question to the Master. I've always been sort of surprised that it wasn't Simon Peter who asked that question of Jesus, because when we read all of the Gospels and lock in on the parts that have to do with Simon Peter, we find that it was Peter who was the one who was the brashest. He was the one who was the most impulsive. Don't you wonder why Thomas had to pose the question, why not Simon Peter? My guess, and because it's not recorded, it's what I love about the Scripture, sometimes we get to read between the lines. My guess is that Simon Peter had stuck his foot into his mouth so many times, and he wasn't done. There was still the threefold denial yet to come. But at that point, Peter may have felt he had stuck his foot in his mouth so many times that it was best to keep silent. And so he did. But when Jesus answered the question that was on each of the disciples' minds, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we follow you? How can we know the way?" Jesus said to them, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one gets to the Father except through me." Peter may have been unwilling to stick his foot into his mouth on that particular occasion, but that teaching of Jesus, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, no one gets to God except through me," that teaching stuck. That teaching stuck with Simon Peter, so that after the resurrection of Jesus on the day of Pentecost, Simon Peter assumed a leadership role, not just among the rest of the disciples, but among all of the believers who named Christ as risen Lord. Peter emerged as a leader in the church and continued to occupy that position until his passing, which, according to tradition, resulted in his own crucifixion, though Simon Peter requested to be crucified upside down because he did not consider himself worthy to lose his life in the same way as his crucified and risen Lord. Between Pentecost and Simon Peter's passing, there are two epistles in the New Testament that reflect his teaching, his perspective, his experience, his understanding of what it means to walk by faith and not by sight, to follow hard after Jesus. We know these epistles as 1st and 2nd Peter. Peter wrote them for a church comprised of new believers who had come out of a pagan culture and had no clue whatsoever about what it meant to trust in Jesus. And so these two epistles, especially the first, they serve as a kind of orientation manual for helping new believers be able to process what it means, on one hand, to live in the power of resurrection, to live on one hand in the hope of a glorious future that God has provided for those who trust in Jesus, and on the other hand, in the meantime, how to stay faithful, how to endure persecution, how to recognize that even in the most uncertain and anxious times, we can lean into the power of Jesus' presence because He is for us a living Lord. Over the next 7 Sundays, it will take us through the season of Easter. You thought Easter was just a single day on the calendar? Well, maybe for the world, that is true. But for us who are people of faith, not true. There are 7 Sundays when we proclaim the good news that Jesus is risen Lord. Yes, every Sunday is something of a little Easter, but in the season of Easter, we recognize the importance of digging more deeply into the promises that are contained in the promise of Jesus' resurrection. And so for the next 7 Sundays, we're just going to work our way through 1 Peter. Because these are anxious times. These are uncertain times. And now more than ever, it behooves us to become more connected to the power of His resurrection. In this section of 1 Peter that I've read for you this morning, he addresses a community of faith that has experienced social distancing that it never could have imagined. As with so many of us, it was a distancing that had been imposed upon them. It's not a distancing that they had chosen. It was one imposed upon them by a pagan culture that rejected them, that ostracized believers in Jesus Christ, that ridiculed them because they no longer believed in pagan gods. And so their life was difficult. And they wanted to know, how will we be able to make it from one moment to the next? Peter speaks with them at the very outset of his letter of the importance of understanding that we have experienced a new birth by what he calls a living hope in the power of Jesus' resurrection. So that what Peter says to the church is, even in the most anxious and uncertain times, when it seems as if you are all by yourself, you have no one to turn to, Jesus is present. And because he is present with the very power of his resurrection, he has introduced for you a new reality, one that will move you from the place where you may be stuck to a better place, to a more glorious place, to the very goal of your faith, as Peter describes it, which is the very salvation of your souls. That same sort of balancing act is something that I think many of us are struggling with even today. We're weary, we're tired. We've reached a point where we may feel as if this current crisis will never end. We're stuck. We're mired in a place of self-pity and misery, and we need to know that there is something for us to look forward to. We're ready to move to the next thing, which we trust is a better thing. And what this passage from 1 Peter wants us to understand, invites us to understand, is that the future that God has for us is a settled future. It is a glorious future. And for us to be able to endure this difficult present time, we need only to welcome the power of the risen Jesus, his presence into our lives, that we might in some way see this present season as one in which that power that we invite into our lives, the power of the risen Jesus, that power forms us and shapes us so that we are more fit for the glorious future that God has for us to know. I think about my own experience and the conversations that I've been having with those that are near and dear to me, family, friends, colleagues in ministry, and I see how important the trajectories of those conversations have been for me in terms of my spirit, my attitude, my ability to weather the same kinds of headaches and heartaches that all of us are experiencing right now. In the very beginning, particularly as I spoke with colleagues in ministry, we spent those early conversations commiserating about all we'd had to call off, everything that had changed, and none of this we could ever have anticipated, and what we would certainly need to be doing in terms of emergency plans and slashing this and doing away with that. And as we talked more and more, each of us agreed that we were stuck. We were mired in self-pity. We weren't moving any place productive. And how would we then be able to lead our people to a better place when we were in that kind of low point? And so our conversations have changed dramatically since those early weeks. Now we've been talking among ourselves about an anticipated future, something that we can point to, lessons that we have learned in this present season that would enable us to be more faithful disciples in the days that are to come. We're going to get through this. The question is, will we get through this present season with a deeper understanding of the power that we have with the risen Jesus? And as we have begun to anticipate a better future, it's been remarkable how our spirits have been lifted, how our attitudes have been transformed, how we've actually become excited about relishing this present season for what it can teach us about being faithful to a greater degree. I would invite you, perhaps, if you are in a place where you feel mired and stuck, ready to give up, begin thinking about a more hopeful future. Where it is that God, in the powerful presence of the risen Jesus, might be taking you. And how much better your life is going to be because of how you are open to what God and God alone can do in you in this present season. So when the time comes for you to experience the future that is to come, you will be better prepared for it, stronger in your relationship with Christ, and you will have discovered yet again, that while we are not promised immunity from trials and tribulations in this life, what we are promised is an abiding presence and a power that can move us from one moment to the next, so that there is no need for us ever to fret or fear anything along the way. This morning, on this Sunday after Easter, could you learn how to commit yourself to the living hope that God has provided through your faith in Jesus Christ, a bridge, as it were, between where you are now and where God is moving you to be? Can you set out with a degree of comfort and assurance, knowing that even though you have no clue as to what is before you or how long it will take for you to get there, God not only has a clue, God has the key. And Jesus Christ is for you the way, the truth, and the life. This has been a growth season for me in so many ways. I've paused and looked at my life and gone back all the way to my childhood days. And one of the things that I have learned about myself, I always knew this in the back of my mind, but let this be a confession. They say confession is good for the soul. I am one lousy traveler. I have always been a lousy traveler. I was the proverbial kid in the back seat, always asking the question, how long before we get there? Every journey presumes a destination. How long before we get there? Maybe you were that kid too. Then I turned 16 and I got my driver's license. And I didn't have to ask that question any longer. I could take the wheel, take matters into my own hands, and drive bat crazy from point A to point B. It became a matter of a contest. How quickly can I conquer the distance? I have been a lousy traveler. But this season has slowed me down, and I bet it slowed you down too. And one of the things is I have opened my life to God's grace in Jesus Christ and the power of His presence. I got a lot of work to do, but I'm making progress. I'm celebrating the journey. Every day, every hour, every moment, every minute, smelling the roses, even in the midst of the skunk cabbage, learning to savor the sweet tastes that are all around me, in spite of the fact that I, if left to my own devices, tend to be drawn to the bitter. Rejecting all of the noise, the incessant noise that is around me, for the peace of Jesus Christ that surpasses all understanding. As the psalmist said, to be still and to know that He is God. Hey, isn't that what Thomas did in his own faith journey? Gospel of John tells us that on the night of Jesus' resurrection, Jesus appeared to His disciples. They were all there. They were excited to see Him, to experience the peace that Jesus breathed upon them. They were all there except Thomas. He had to get out. He had been in that upper room long enough. He was on the verge of going bat crazy. I got to go somewhere. We have no idea where he went. It was enough of a destination for him. He missed Jesus. When he returned, the disciples were beside themselves. We've seen the Lord. Thomas was so stuck. Unless I see, and unless I feel, I will not believe. You know the story. The next Sunday evening, Jesus appeared yet again to His disciples. This time, Thomas was there. Jesus came to meet Thomas in the place where Thomas was mired and stuck. See and feel and be blessed. And Thomas made the confession that all believers must ultimately confess. It is the goal of everyone's faith journey with Jesus. My Lord, he said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. May this morning, in the place where you are, may your spirit find the grace to utter that same confession, so that in the words of Simon Peter, even though you can't see Him, you believe Him. And because you love Him and you believe Him, you are being filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are moving on the basis of your confession in the direction of where your faith is designed to take you, to where Jesus is, in His Father's house, where there's room enough for everyone. Room enough for everyone who trusts Him, including you. Including you. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You that Jesus comes to us in those times, in those places where we need Him to show up the most. It's what it means to go through this life with a living hope, to be able to find that bridge that exists between this anxious and uncertain present to the glorious future that is yet to be. To know that we walk through this life not by ourselves, not in our own power, but in the power and with the presence of the risen Jesus. So God, do in us that work that will enable us to walk by faith, not by sight, because we love You through Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.